This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Happy Bunny Weekend! I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and I don't know about you, but I am celebrating the rebirth of spring in the form of my daffodils and tulips and hyacinths and grape hyacinths, and every few days something new in the garden. That's what this season is really about, nothing supernatural.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is, as Annie Laurie pointed out, Easter weekend. It's the weekend of April 7th and 8th, 2012. Free Thought Radio is produced at and originates here in Madison, Wisconsin, which is where the national headquarters of the Freedom From Religion Foundation are. This show broadcasts in other cities around the country, and a couple of days later, the show becomes a podcast available throughout the entire natural, not supernatural, but the entire natural universe.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is now got 18,000 plus members in every state, a national association of freethinkers, atheists, and agnostics, working to keep religion out of government. We sue, we litigate, we broadcast, we try to end state church violations without going to court, of course. We publish books, we have a newspaper, as well as this radio show. We have a staff of 13 and growing in Madison, Wisconsin, and we hope you'll join us not someday, but today at ffrf.org. And Dan, I was going to ask you to just explain briefly your Easter challenge before we talk about the rest of the show.
Oh, the Easter challenge, mm-hmm. The contradictions? Well, in my book, Losing Faith in Faith, and also in the book Godless, I list at least 17 of the internal contradictions in the New Testament stories about Jesus. Paul, Mark, Luke, and Matthew all give different stories, and they don't agree on so many issues. So my Easter challenge for many, many years, which actually a few people have tried, although they didn't even come close, the challenge is to take all of those accounts from the Bible and put them together. Don't prove the story. Just put them together into one single coherent narrative that doesn't contradict anything. No one's been able to do that. And if you're a listener who thinks the Bible is reliable and true, I would challenge you to do that. It's not that many verses. Try to put them together and see if you can come out with what actually happened. Theologians, apologists have never been able to do that. And they've tried harmonies, but they've never been able to produce a coherent narrative.
And you have a blog up about this at our website, right?
Well, I have a different story about this week's blog is about the fact that the Easter story is really a ghost story, because after Jesus, supposedly, if he existed, after he rose in the story, the narrators of the New Testament describe him in completely different terms. Before the resurrection, they just talk about it like a normal person, but afterwards they start using words like he appeared and he showed himself and then he disappeared, and it's really spooky, and these bodies crawl out of the graves, and so
it's sort of like a ghost story or a horror story.
Well, it's actually more scary than the Halloween story. If you read the Easter story, really is a trick-or-treat story.
Now, what are we going to have later today's show?
Well, today, and by the way, it was nice to meet some of you members in North Carolina at the Rock Beyond Belief concert.
Oh, you just came back from that.
At Fort Bragg, North Carolina, there were more than 1,000, maybe 1,500 people there. It was a lot of fun to meet and talk with a lot of you. The first ever atheist meeting, atheist event on a military base.
So I guess you can brag about that at Fort Bragg.
I can brag about that at Fort Bragg.
And that was Justin Griffith putting that together.
And we have a t-shirt, by the way, to dispel the myth that the Freedom From Religion Foundation is just a bunch of militant atheists. We have a t-shirt that says militant agnostic.
And it looks like camouflage. Little joke.
But so, today we're going to talk, Annie Laurie, you know who we're going to talk with today.
We are going to talk with a Madisonian for a change, since this originates from Madison. Tara Ayres, and she is artistic director of something called Stage Q, which is a queer-friendly, I guess they call it, queer theater. And I saw a wonderful production of something called This Beautiful City last weekend, and I participated in an audience talkback with two gay ministers about this play, which is a fascinating play. The writers and a group of people went to Colorado Springs, Colorado, and interviewed real people about Ted Haggard, about the conglomeration of religious right people in that town and how people feel about it, both the fundamentalists who love it and the atheists and the people on the sidelines. And they put together they call it a docu-musical. Hmm. And it's very charming. It's playing tonight, and it's, I think, for a couple more weeks on Friday and Saturday night. And there's going to be another talk back tonight, and we'll be represented by our constitutional consultant, Andrew Seidel, who will be on with Mikey Weinstein, who is a character in the play. So it's a lot of fun. And we'll be talking in the second half of the program about that play with Tara Ayres.
Now, we have time to talk about our ad that ran on Rachel Maddow this week.
Yeah, we have, listeners will know that we debuted a very historic national commercial on CBS last week on the Sunday morning news and on the evening news. And we are switching stations in the past week to NBC and MSNBC. We ran our commercial on Meet the Press last Sunday and then 4 days in a row on Rachel Maddow. And if you haven't seen that ad yet on TV, we're going to play it right now.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at ffrf.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers.
And I want to say we have had lovely response. We've had at least two of FFRF's current members become life members because they were so pleased with that ad on CBS. We would love to take this on more stations. We're looking at Comedy Central, perhaps other ads as well. So if you are not a member of FFRF, this is a great time to join, a great time to help us with a tax-deductible contribution.
And momentarily, our website was swamped because of the many thousands of people
responding to that. Unfortunately, it took it down for a while. So if you were one of those persons, come back. It's up at FFRF.org and join us.
And now for some news, the Freedom From Religion Foundation's new lawsuit challenging Pennsylvania's 2012 Year of the Bible is getting some attention. This is a segment from the National Fox News last week, where actually their legal analyst agreed that our case is not without merit.
Well, some new legal questions today after a national atheist group files a lawsuit against the state of Pennsylvania for declaring 2012 the year of the Bible. The group is called Freedom From Religion Foundation. It claims that the resolution amounts to state-sponsored religion and is therefore unconstitutional. But that's not all. The group adds that the Bible contains, quote, violent, sexist, and racist models of behavior that the members of this group find personally repugnant. Now, the sponsor of the resolution, a local lawmaker, disagrees, saying, quote, it recognizes the significant impact the Bible has had on our country. It in no way inhibits anyone from believing in any faith or no faith. Who's right here? What's the case like? Lisa Wheel is a Fox News legal analyst and former federal prosecutor. Fred Tesi is a former prosecutor and criminal defense attorney. Welcome to you both. So, Lisa, this group says the state is endorsing a religion. It violates the Constitution. Is that true?
Jenna, I think they've got a case. I mean, as wonderful as the resolution sounds, benign, uplifting, all of that, it does have the mark of legislating religion. That arguably runs afoul of the definition of separation between church and state, the whole Establishment Clause. I mean, look at how courts have interpreted. You can't even have the Ten Commandments in a courtroom, Jenna. So how is this going to fly? I think they've got a case. I don't like the way that they're pursuing it, but I do think they have a case.
Well, we think so, too. And we had 41 of our members sign up to participate in it. We actually had more than that wanting to participate, but we had a deadline. And so we feel that this is state-sanctioned religion. This is the establishment of religion in the state of Pennsylvania. One of the sponsors of the so-called Year of the Bible in Pennsylvania even said that the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment does not apply to Pennsylvania. So we really need to educate.
And that was Fox legal analyst Lisa Wheel saying that we probably do have a case. She mentioned the Ten Commandments can't be in courtrooms. Well, they certainly cannot be on high school property, according to Supreme Court precedent. But again, in Pennsylvania, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is, as we told you last week, complaining about a Ten Commandments monument on the grounds of a public high school in New Kensington.
And they are digging in their spurs. They're saying that they're going to refuse to remove it, which is really audacious. It's one of those huge granite decalogues. It's put up by the Eagles, and this was in cahoots with Cecil B. DeMille to commemorate his epic movie that's always shown at Easter time, The Ten Commandments. And in fact, it's the Roman Catholic version of the Ten Commandments because it's minus a reference to graven images. And it's right there by the entrance of this high school. And we have public officials at the school, superintendents, all saying, we are going to keep it.
And now a group of religious people, including a local pastor, showed up at that school to protest our protest. And some of them dressed up in founding father costumes, pretending that that Ten Commandments monument is not really a religious statement. It's merely historical. This is WPXI 11 News.
It's been about 57 years, from what I understand, that has been on this property, and it's historic and should remain there.
Reverend Mitch Nichols of Bible Way Church spoke to a group of about 40 supporters outside Valley High School in New Kensington. The group wants to keep the Ten Commandments standing in front of the school. The group called Freedom From Religion out of Wisconsin wants it removed, saying it violates separation of church and state. But some supporters dressed up, saying it's about history and not religion.
The founding fathers wanted a republic, and now we have a tyranny of many that they come out. One person complains, and that's not what the country was all about.
We're just here to show our support of keeping this historic landmark where it is.
These women said a quiet prayer at the monument.
We prayed that God would protect this monument and it would be able to stay here no matter what people try to do, that it'll be taken care of and in his hands.
The superintendent told me they've had more than 1,000 emails and calls in support of the monument and only 3 messages opposing it. He says for now, their stance is that the monument stays. In New Kensington, Vince Sims, Channel 11 News.
Now, they are proving our point. This is a clergy-led ministerial rally at a Ten Commandments at a high school where they're praying and they're saying we're a theocracy. And this, you know, for litigation purposes is very useful, but it is a very sad commentary because this is not tyranny. The tyranny is when government gets behind religion. And it is tyranny to disregard the freedom of conscience of anybody in any community, the right to be free from governmental interference with your views on religion.
Stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. After the break, we're going to talk about Yip Harburg, whose birthday is coming up next week. And by the way, we're listening to a little bit of his song, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? So, and then after that, we're going to talk with Tara Ayers about the play Beautiful City.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And of course, that's Judy Garland, who is singing the song from The Wizard of Oz, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. This week is the anniversary of the birth of the songwriter, the lyricist. Harold Arlen wrote the music, but the lyricist of Over the Rainbow was Yip Harburg. He was born on April the 8th, 1896.
And of course, he was an atheist, and his son, Ernie Harburg, who runs the Yip Harburg Foundation, is a lifetime member of FFRF. And the song Over the Rainbow, known to everyone, won the 39 Academy Award for Best Song. It's the number one movie song, excuse me, of all history, according to the American Film Institute. Now, what are some of the other songs that Yip wrote?
Well, Yip Harburg wrote a whole bunch. Brother, Can You Spare a Dime from the 1930s. He wrote It's Only a Paper Moon, A Barnum and Bailey World. He wrote April in Paris. He wrote the musical with Burton Lane, Finian's Rainbow, and just a lot of songs that are loved by millions of movie viewers and music listeners. And we found out that Yip was a non-believer, and he actually, besides lyrics, wrote a bunch of poetry.
Well, the book Rhymes for the Irreverent was his first book, and then he had a second book. And working with his son, Ernie Harburg, whom we've interviewed on this show, he's a retired scientist, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has been privileged to put that back into print. We combined both of Yip's irreverent rhymes in a book called Rhymes for the Irreverent, and illustrated by the very well-known
Seymour Quast.
Artist Seymour Quast, and who did the originals in the 60s, and then he added to it with our recent publication.
40 years later, yeah.
And it's a delightful volume of political and religious, irreligious, and other social commentary verses still very timely today by Yip Harburg.
So I took a bunch of those little poems from that book, and I made a little song, which I'm calling Somewhere Over the Paper Moon. And there's 10 poems from there. Lead Kindly Light, A Nose is a Nose, Federal Reserve, Three Bolts, No Strikes, Realist, Small Comforts, The Man Who Has Everything, Strike Three, and ending with the two poems, Agnostic and Atheist. Atheist. This is the song, Somewhere Over the Paper Moon.
Somewhere over the paper moon there sails a lyrical ship made of irreverent memories of a songwriter known as Yip. Lead Kindly Light, where Bishop Patrick crossed the street, an X now marks the spot. The light of God was with him, but the traffic light was not. Mother, mother, tell me, mother, mother, tell me, please, did God who made the flowers and trees also provide the allergies? In 1929, when the banks went bust, in 29, when the banks went bust, our coins still read, In God We Trust. Lightning struck the steeple of the Church of San Jose. It barely missed the brothel that was just across the way. For what we are about to receive, O Lord, 'tis thee we thank, said the cannibal as he cut a slice of the missionary shank. Before I was born, I seemed to be contented with being non-beable. So after I'm gone, it seems to me, my lot should be not less agreeable. For a halo up in heaven, I have never been too keen. Who needs another gadget that a fellow has to clean? Broken clock can tell the time correctly twice a day. Astrologers, like broken clocks, are clairvoyant that way. No matter how much I probe and prod, I cannot quite believe in God. But oh, I hope to God that He unswervingly believes in me. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree, and only God who makes the tree also makes the fools like me, but only fools like me, you see, can make a God who makes a tree.
That was Dan Bark.
Somewhere over the paper moon, there sails a lyrical ship made of irreverent memories of a songwriter known as Yip.
That was Dan Barker. I'm Annie Laurie Geller. Coming up, we'll talk with Tara Ayers about a play about Ted Haggard.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are going to be talking about a play, a docu-musical about Ted Haggard and Colorado Springs called This Beautiful City. We are going to interview in a couple minutes Tara Ayers, who is the artistic director of Stage... I'm sorry, I'm getting this mixed up... Stage Q, and they're putting on this play in Madison, Wisconsin, and it's on tonight, and there's a special talk back. We'll talk about that in a minute, and it'll be on next weekend as well. And we thought before we welcome Tara to the show, we'll play a musical or a trailer from a previous production of This Beautiful City.
June 2006. Amendment 43 would ban gay marriage. Referendum I would fight for it. In Colorado Springs, Colorado, the unofficial capital of the evangelical movement.
We call it good news.
For a fresh
separation of church and
one man, one woman.
The scandal that brought down the leader of one of the biggest evangelical churches in America. Created by the award-winning documentary theater company, The Civilians, Vineyard Theater presents This Beautiful City, on sale now. For tickets, call 212-353-0303.
No, excuse me, that's not for Madison, Wisconsin, but that's a trailer for a previous production of This Beautiful City playing at the Bartell Theater in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. And we have with us the artistic director of that production company, Tara Ayers.
Hi, Annie Laurie.
And nice to have you on the show.
Now, you saw the show, didn't you, Annie Laurie?
I did, and I loved it. And Tara, first, why don't you talk a little bit about what Stage Q is?
Well, Stage Q is Madison's LGBT theater company, and we're 11 years old. We're one of the resident companies at the Bartell, and we're a community theater troupe. So we are about bringing theater that explores LGBT experiences to the stage in Madison.
And what made you choose This Beautiful City?
Well, it's interesting because when we chose this play, one of my board of directors members asked me if this play was gay enough for us. And it certainly is a play that speaks strongly to the kind of hot-button issues that evangelical Christianity has been focusing on, one of which is homosexuality as sin. And so to my mind, it was very... directly relevant to our theater company. I also think it's really directly relevant to anybody who lives in Wisconsin right now, since, in particular, Scott Walker was raised in Colorado Springs, and I actually think a lot of the policies that he's been putting in place are issues that relate directly to his evangelical upbringing.
So that explains it.
It's Governor Scott Walker.
Yes, Governor Scott Walker.
Now tell us, tell the listeners what is the plot of This Beautiful City.
But first,
city.
Wait a minute. Oh. What is a docu-musical? What does that mean?
Well, This Beautiful City was developed by a theater troupe called The Civilians, which does what's called investigatory theater. That is, they become interested in a topic, and they'll go and interview people about it and put on a play from that. And so this is a New York-based theater company, and they became interested in the impact impact of the evangelical movement on secular culture and how it was affecting all of our communities. And since Colorado Springs is known as the evangelical capital of America, and in fact, since that's a relatively recent change, within the last 25 years, a recent change in the culture of Colorado Springs, it seemed like a really good place to go and talk to people who would be all over the spectrum on this issue, all over the religious spectrum, so from far right and from fundamental Christian all the way through atheists to, you know, Celtic Wiccans, and on all over the political spectrum as well, from far left to far right.
And this was partly inspired, of course, by the downfall of Ted Haggard.
Well, it wasn't actually, because
really?
While they had decided to go to Colorado Springs, and the Ted Haggard scandal blew up while they were there.
Wow.
It just kind of fell in their laps. So they just went to write a theater piece about evangelism and fundamental Christianity, and the Ted Haggard situation just fell neatly into their
lap.
Wow.
Was quite a coincidence. I mean, maybe it was inevitable, but when you watch the play, these are based on real people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming there might be some composite figures there, but for example, Mikey Weinstein is in the play,
mm-hmm.
the head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Not him, actually.
No,
I mean the
character.
Yeah.
A character
is in the
called
play.
Mikey Weinstein
yeah.
is
and
in
then
the play.
And then tonight in Madison, Wisconsin, he's going to be joining you for the talkback, right?
He is. I am so thrilled about that. The actor who's playing Mikey Weinstein in the play actually got in contact with him, and it turns out that he's on a book signing tour across the country and was going to be near Wisconsin, so we persuaded him to come up and sign books and be part of our talkback.
Yeah, you had already invited FFRF to be part of it before you knew Mikey was going to be there. And mm-hmm. I was there last weekend, and I was on with, who were the other two people?
Scott Anderson, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, and Ken Penning, who's the associate pastor at Orchard Ridge United Church of Christ.
And both of those men were brought up, I understand, in pretty mm-hmm. fundamentalist homes and are now out gay pastors.
Mm-hmm. They are, and both of them lost their families when they came out.
Yes. So. That was kind of shocking and chilling to hear the mm-hmm. suffering mm-hmm. They have gone through, and in the name of religion.
Right.
And then there's, you know, it was like Old Home Week, I think I told you. One of the characters is Rebecca, who's with Evolve Fish.
Yes.
She's a member of our group. She and her husband, Betchen.
Gary Betchen.
Gary Betchen. Yeah. Sell these Evolve Fish things in Colorado Springs.
Well, then Mikey's been on our show. In fact, I saw Mikey Weinstein last week at Fort Bragg.
Oh.
And then there's a host of other characters, and I thought very respectfully portrayed in such a way that if you were a fundamentalist or you're an atheist, you're not going to, you're going to feel that you were properly represented.
Mm-hmm. And we worked really hard on that. I mean, you know, the point of this play is not to make fun of anyone. It's to let all of the different people across the spectrum speak for themselves. And so, you know, I know there was a little bit of anxiety on the part of some of our cast members about whether or not people were going to think they held these views. But we worked really, really hard to find, you know, what was empathetic and human about each of these, about each of the characters, even if anybody who's portraying them may not agree with someone.
And we don't have much music available from this, unfortunately. But for example, I think it was Sarah O'Hara portrayed an atheist activist, and then she also was she the student?
She was the Evolved Fish woman.
Oh, she was the Evolved Fish. Oh,
right.
Okay. She was Rebecca.
She was
and
Rebecca.
Then there was, who was it who played the student? Who I don't know. She did a song.
Oh, Alicia McCann.
Okay, and that's a very cute song where she's very flustered because there's so much proselytizing going on in her high school, and she's starting to resist it. She doesn't want to make up her mind about religion,
right.
But she's offended by the proselytizing. And you have Zachariah Ruffin plays a choir director, and that was kind of a hit of
mm-hmm.
the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what, you know, any other highlights you want to mention?
Well, you know, Sarah, in addition to playing Rebecca, also plays this young woman who was a drug addict and who had a conversion experience, you know, felt the call to God and was born again. And she and her husband have gone from being potheads and drug heavy drug users to, you know, being very clean cut born again Christians. But her father is gay, and a lot of the time that she spends on stage, she is struggling with the conflict between her religious views that homosexuality is a sin and her love for her father and her complicated relationship with her father. And I think that's a really amazing part, because, you know, this character who, you know, you can't watch this play and not really come to like and care about this woman who, you know, literally believes that if someone is not saved, they're going to burn for all eternity in a fiery pit of hell. And it breaks her heart. And yet she really believes that.
And there's also sort of a breakaway church that's really out there.
Mm-hmm.
The song about demons and the
right.
End times.
Well, that, you know, the recurrence of the fact that the end times are coming soon is a kind of ongoing theme in fundamentalist art and literature, and so it makes perfect sense to me that it's in this play, because people really do believe the end is upon us, and they need to save as many souls as possible before we're all wiped away.
We're talking with Tara Ayers, who's the artistic director of the play This Beautiful City, and we don't have any real music to play from from that musical, and we're going to continue our conversation with Tara after the breaks. But I thought we should play a very relevant song. In fact, a song I just heard last week, performed by the satirical songwriter Roy Zimmerman. He has a song which is based on an actual newspaper headline that said, "Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual."
And there was a great headline this last year, a great headline that just screamed for a melody. It went, "Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Glory, hallelujah." Once there was a preacher by the name of Ted Haggard who stumbled from the path, or you might even say staggered. He was one in a million, or more aptly, one in ten. Some folks say he put the men in amen. He preached the gospel message of intolerance and self-loathing, and traveled on his wayward way, betraying his betrothing. He was the soul of piety, and no one doubted him, until he hired a gigolo and used a pseudonym. Then he humbly went to counseling, and then 3 weeks later he's born again, again. And now Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Glory, hallelujah. He telephoned the White House for a weekly consultation, saying, "Here's what Jesus thinks of all the pending legislation. And marriage is a covenant between a man and wife, and homosexuals will thrive forever in the afterlife." He did some other things he'd later disavow, but he's putting it all behind him now. What does Leviticus have to say? Yeah, what does it say about being gay? To lie with man is an abomination, like cursing your parents, trimming your beard, planting wheat and barley in the same furrow, eating pork, wearing polyester, and masturbation. And what did Jesus have to say? Yeah, what did he say about being gay? Well, nothing. Now, Ted's a little haggard, but he's thankful for the schism. You're right, but wait for it. And you might find it hard to swallow the syllogism that even evildoers have a reason to rejoice, because they can simply make a better lifestyle choice. So don't embrace the way God made you. Here's what you should do. Choose to be a hetero and 7'2", because Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual. Glory, hallelujah. Now, Ted would like you all to know the story has a moral. And of all the televangelists, his favorite is oral.
That was Ted Haggard is completely heterosexual, Roy Zimmerman, and We're playing that because we're talking about the play This Beautiful City with its artistic director, Tara Ayers. It's playing tonight in Madison, Wisconsin at the Bartell Theater, and we're going to come back in a minute and talk with Tara some more about this play, about Stage Q in Madison, and how you can go see the play and the talkback. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone.
Rescue us, Lord Jesus God!
As a nation, the entire world is watching the revelation of a new day that is dawning.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker.
And that was a little teaser of a production of This Beautiful City, an ensemble number. And it is, we have, it's being performed in Madison this weekend and next weekend, final showing. And we have with us the artistic director of that production, Tara Ayers. Welcome back.
Thanks, Annie Laurie and Dan. Glad to be here.
Now, tell us what's happening tonight and where people can get tickets and what to do.
Well, what's happening tonight is the show is on at the Bartell at 8 o'clock, and it's followed by another talk back. Annie Laurie was kind enough to be our guest last weekend, and tonight Mikey Weinstein, who's the director of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, is in town, so he'll join us. Jade River, who is the High Priestess of the Reformed Congregation of the Goddess, which is, I believe, the largest Wiccan congregation in the country, and Andrew Seidel from the Freedom From Religion Foundation will be our third speaker. And we'll just be talking about impressions of the play. And last week, we actually had to shoo audience members out of the theater. People didn't want to leave. The discussion was that engaging.
It was really fun and really special for me to be part of that. And there was a lot of emotion and I think a lot of pain portrayed in the play. And in there was in the audience, people who have been shunned because they're gay or, you know.
Because they've left the church or.
Yeah, and kicked out by their families and so on. So religion has a lot to answer for, in my opinion.
And the play is going on through next week, is that right?
It's playing through April 14th. That's our closing night. And next weekend we have performances Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And we also have a Saturday matinee at 2 o'clock on the 14th. And you can visit our website, stageq.com, or you can call the Bartell reservation line at 608-661-9696 to get tickets.
And they're very reasonable, are they not? What are the price?
The Thursday show and the Saturday matinee are $10, and the Friday and Saturday evening shows are $15.
And so, it's a very nice theater.
It is, actually. And the Bartell's kind of a Madison miracle. It's one of only two venues in the country that is owned and operated by what would elsewhere be competitive theater companies. It's collaboratively owned and operated. So.
And I'm told even good hot chocolate and such during the intermission.
And wine and beer, yes.
So now we'll recap a little bit about what this docu-musical is about.
It focuses on the community of Colorado Springs, Colorado, which is a town that used to just be a little military town and is now the evangelical capital of the world. The civilians, the theater troupe that developed the show, went to Colorado Springs and did hundreds of hours of interviews with people there from across the religious and political spectrum about what it means to them to live in Colorado Springs and what their religion means to them or what their reaction to other people's religion is. So.
And atheists and rebels and the LGBT community are represented, as are, very fairly. Believers, fundamentalists, pastors, and Ted Haggard has a cameo, doesn't he? The character.
His characters actually appear several times on stage because the scandal involving his involvement with a male hooker and buying crystal meth blew up while they were in Colorado doing the interviews for the show.
Besides the focus on the family, there's also that. Does the Air Force Academy Chapel play into the musical?
It does, actually, because while they were investigating this, the chaplain, the head chaplain of the Air Force actually said formally and publicly that it was the official Air Force policy to evangelize anyone who comes into the Air Force who is, quote-unquote, unchurched. That's official Air Force policy, which you can imagine makes a lot of people fairly unhappy. There's also, they bring recruits right from New Life Church, which is Ted Haggard's old church, into the academy.
So pushing Bibles with guns behind them.
Exactly.
And have you ever been to Colorado Springs?
I have not.
Oh, and it is beautiful. It is a beautiful city. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the play, This Beautiful City. And there's quite a bit of references, biblical references to a citadel on a hill. That idea, the biblical idea that Reagan kind of popularized, you know, which really doesn't mean, it sounds good, but it's kind of menacing.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote the music and who were the writers of the play?
Steve Cawson and, oh boy.
Oh, I think I have that in front of me.
If you have that right in front of you, would you read it, Dan?
Yes. It's written by Steve Cawson and Jim Lewis, and the music and lyrics are by Michael Friedman. And this play in Madison, Wisconsin, is directed by Elam Atiyah, musical director Jake Abley, and we are talking with the artistic director, Tara Ayers. And the play, again, you can get tickets. You can probably purchase tickets at the door.
Yes,
tonight.
You can purchase tickets at the door as long as we're not sold out, certainly.
And maybe it will be. And going on tonight, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and next Sunday as well.
No, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week.
Oh, Saturday, excuse
me. We close on Saturday.
And is there a website?
There is. It's stageq.com.
Stageq.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're out of time. Thank you so much, Tara. And it's a marvelous production.
Well, thank you so much, Annie Laurie, for being part of our talk back. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. And we want to thank Dave McCann again for producing and engineering this show, and Buzz Kemper for announcing. The show is recorded right here in Madison, Wisconsin. Find out more at ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org, including a complimentary issue of our April newspaper, just hot off the press. You can also phone 1-800-335-4021. Go to ffrf.org and to donate, to join, to be part of our legal fund, to help us with our ad campaign, our JFK ad that you've heard. And tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.